You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church, along with my associate, Pastor Darren Solano. We greet you here today. Happy Thursday to all of you. Praise God, heading towards the weekend. And praise God here on WGOD. We're back in the book of Revelation. It's been a few weeks since we've been back here. For months, we've been going through verse by verse, semi-live here on the radio. That is, you're not hearing a Sunday sermon today from Island Community Church, but I'm in my office here recording these programs here verse by verse, and we're in the Revelation chapter 18 here coming up in a moment. First of all, I invite you guys to church this weekend. If you're new to the area or if you are looking for a new church home for whatever reason, I invite you to attend Island Community Church. We are located at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. We meet Wednesdays at 6 o'clock. We meet Sundays at 10:30. So we'd love to see you this week. I am in Romans 11 and 12, the end of chapter 11. We've been looking at God's plan with Israel. My last two sermons have been What's Up with Israel, part 1. That was chapters 9 and half of 10. Part 2, half of 10, and chapter 11. And now we're going to look at God's final plan with Israel, where he says, and all Israel will be saved, and the deliverer will come out of Zion. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. That's where we're going to be. And we'll start chapter 12. Where do we go from here? I think that's the name of my sermon. Where to from here? In light of everything that we've looked at, where to from here? For of him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory. Amen, he says. All right, where do we go from here? That's why he starts chapter 12 with a therefore. Therefore, consider in light of the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. That's where we're going to be this Sunday morning at 10:30. Look for the podcast on the Island Community Church, well, on their podcasting page. The video from the sermon will be up on our YouTube channel, Island Community Church, and you'll hear it on the radio here sometime next week. In the meantime, the heading in my notes here is the destruction of Babylon. Now, we left off here. I know it's been a few weeks, mid-December, since we were in this. We were wondering about what Babylon is, where Babylon is. Remember, it was Mystery Babylon, and we were wondering what it is, where it is. Is Babylon literally Babylon, or is Babylon, because we know the book of Revelation is symbolic, is it a code for something else? Well, let me tell you, back in the first century, Babylon indeed was a code word for something else. You read in the end of 1 Peter, I think it's chapter 5, verse 13, where Peter says, those in Babylon greet you. Now, Peter, as far as we know, was never in Babylon. There's no record at all of the apostles being there. But we know Peter, when he wrote that toward the end of his life, that Peter was in Rome. And Babylon, because they didn't want to give themselves away where they were, he didn't want that old, nasty old Nero knowing where he was. He wasn't going to be a glutton for punishment and invite him. When he says, those in Babylon greet you, Babylon was a code word for Rome. Whether or not he means the same thing here, I don't know. Now that we're recording this on this 7th of January, 2026, one can look at the rebuilding of the West Bank and the Palestinian and Israel land that Mr. Trump is doing. This great conglomerate thing that he wants to build there on the water. You see, that would be unheard of. No one would have known that for 2,000 years. That's my whole point in the book of Revelation. And that is believe, and for the whole Bible, just because you don't understand something, don't become an atheist over it. Like when the Bible says, I think that's chapter 9, we read that there's going to be a 200 million man army on the other side of the Euphrates River. Well, for 1,800 years, that was impossible. There was barely even that much people in the world, at least back then when he wrote that. There wasn't 200 million people on the other side of the Euphrates. Just because you don't understand something, don't become an atheist over it. Trust God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. We read in Proverbs 3:5. Let me encourage you to do that. Trust in God. We don't know what this is. But now, here it is in 2026, you now see something that for 2,025 years, no one would know what you were talking about. Well, there's going to be a new Babylon here that someone is going to build right there on the coast. Unknown to an entire world for 2,025 years. And now, lo and behold, you have a president of this country that, unbeknownst to him, very well can be fulfilling Bible prophecy by building the new Babylon, rebuilding all of the wreckage and carnage from the Israel's war. So, trust God at his word. Just because you don't understand, trust God. Revelation chapter 11 produced I don't even know how many atheists. When it said there that at the death of the two witnesses, that the whole world was able to see it at the same time. And Lord only knows how many atheists that verse produced. Because on the one hand, you got these preterite Presbyterians over here and some Baptists teaching people that most of the book of Revelation has already happened. Jesus has already returned. Nero was the Antichrist. Remember, those are the problems with believing, with not being a futurist, and how you interpret the book of Revelation. Some people, like those groups that I just mentioned, believe most of the book of Revelation has already happened. They think Nero was the Antichrist. They think all of Matthew 24 has already been fulfilled. And this produced, I don't know how many unbelievers. How in the world can everyone in the world see two dead guys lying in the street all at the same time? Impossible. For what? 1,980 years? Then CNN comes along. Now, that scripture verse has been fulfilled, right? At least everything is set for it. Or how about this? How about a one-world government forcing you to take an identifying mark in order to buy and sell? That's never happened before. And now here we are, 2020, what year was that? 2023, 2024. Now you got a pandemic plague that's sweeping around the world. And now you got the government, the one world government, the WHO, and I'm not talking about Pete Townsend and the WHO, the World Health Organization. You've got the WHO out here today forcing you to receive a vaccine or get a vaccine card so that you can buy, because in many places you can't go into the supermarket without it, or sell if you own a business. You can't. You weren't able to unless if you had the vaccine. Now, all I'm saying is it certainly seems to me like a lot of things have come into place within the last 50 years, have they not? You got 200 million man army on the other side. When you look at North Korea, China, now you've got the technology where the whole world can see two dead guys lying there. Everyone in the world can see it at the same time. You've got the end of Daniel when he says, you'll know it's the time of the end when many will run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. And now you've got maybe here in 2026 a rebuilt Babylon. But remember, understand the symbol, and we understand the book. We're not there yet. What Babylon means, we don't know yet. In the first century, it was a secret code word, not secret amongst Christians. But when he says, those in Babylon greet you, 1 Peter 5:13, he was talking about Rome. Now, let's see today, in today's text, where we're going to end up with this Babylon. Now, chapter 18 is going to consist primarily of a funeral song celebrating the fall of Babylon. As mentioned, this refers to the harlot church, which is not only a vast religious system, but perhaps the greatest commercial establishment in the world. It apparently controls the world market. That from my Bible knowledge commentary. Okay, Revelation chapter 18, verse 1. Lord God, we ask for your wisdom and insight here now today. We'll never understand this book without you leading us, helping us to understand, enabling us to understand by and through your Holy Spirit. We pray right now that you would do that. Speak to us through your word here now. Give us, I pray, we pray, understanding, divine understanding into the meaning of your word as we listen for your voice through the pages of Holy Scripture now. Lead us and guide us and help us to be doers of your word and not just hearers either. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Revelation chapter 18, verse 1. Now, after these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. Now remember, it's pretty much all angels that have carried out everything that we've seen so far. Angels are God's, they're the ones, they're God's agents, let's call them, who have carried out everything that we've seen so far. God gives the order, the Lord Jesus loosens the scroll, and the angels are the ones that are dispatched to carry out the will of God. Verse 2, and he cried mightily, this is this angel, he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. Oh, man, talk about having bad neighbors. Maybe you thought you had bad neighbors where you live. Man, imagine that. Imagine living in this rich city, like Dubai could be another one. And look who your next door neighbors are. You know, I wrote down how that read in the New Living Translation. And they have this as it's a nest for filthy buzzards and a den for dreadful beasts. Also, a hideout of demons and evil spirits. Man, oh man, who wants to hang their hat in a town like that? And you thought you had it bad with your next door neighbor and with the neighbor there that's got five cars parked in the grass where you live. Imagine this. A dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like foul spirits. And lastly, again here, every detestable bird. Verse 3, for all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. The merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, lest you receive of her plagues. Imagine that, he says, my people. Hard to fathom that some of God's people obviously are still living in the city. And here's a last-ditch effort on the eve of the city's ruin for the people of God to come out of the city. That's what he calls them. He says, come out, my people. That's funny. That's what the name for church means. Ecclesia, called out ones. 2 Corinthians 6:17, it says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. He said, that's what the word church means. Called out ones. Called out of what? Called out of this. Called out of sin. Church is those that have been called out of this evil world and called into the family of God, into the kingdom of God. You know, with people who want to continue to live in sin, or people, I don't mean to pick on anyone of your personal lifestyle. I've heard homosexuals say, and I'm not picking on them, but they say, we just want a loving, caring family. And I say to that, well, good for you. I'm glad that you do, but you've missed it. Look, I love you and I'm for you, but you've missed it. The whole idea of church is called out of sin. You can't live like that anymore. You can't live in a sinful lifestyle like that anymore. The whole idea of church is you're called out. You're called out of this evil world, like we read in the Bible, where it says, do not love the world, nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lusts of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Now, I'm not just picking on homosexuals. I can say that about anyone. Someone that wants to live with their boyfriend, live with their girlfriend, and say, well, God is love. There's nothing wrong with that. No, you've missed it. Church is, we're called out of this evil world. We're going in another direction now. Let me move on from here. We read here in verse 8. It says, therefore, her plagues will come in one day. Death and mourning and famine, she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. So Babylon, what is it? Where is it? Some people think that this is Jerusalem. I don't see that, because Jerusalem is the city of the living God. It's not a dwelling place of demons and every foul spirit and every evil and detestable bird. That's not Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the city of the living God. So, Rome, perhaps, as it meant back then. Verse 9, the kings of the earth. Now, I got a lot of reading to do. Let's read through this rest of this chapter. Tomorrow, we'll pick it up here in chapter 19. But there's a lot of reading here. There's not a lot of teaching I can do other than say these few things. First of all, there's still Christians on the earth. He says, come out, my people. Get out of this town. You know what else I was going to say? This reminds me of Sodom. Remember when Lot and his wife and his two daughters and son-in-laws were there, and the angel said, I can't do anything until you come out. You see, God does not slay the righteous with the wicked. He leads them out. Remember, he says too, he says, behold, he says, I will keep you out of the hour of trial. Or hour of testing that's going to come upon the whole world to test those that dwell on the earth. Remember that phrase, hour. As we read this, we're going to see this word hour a few times here now. Verse 9, the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her. That's the city, whatever it may be, whatever this code word for Babylon is. They will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. Now, think of what Jesus said. I think it's Revelation 3:10. Behold, I will keep you out of the hour of trial, this hour of testing that's going to come upon the whole world. Is this the same as this? A, B, does hour mean hour, or is hour figuratively mean something else? I don't know the answer to that. I suspect hour means hour here. Verse 11. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her. That's the city, Babylon. For no one buys their merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, and every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, and cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots, bodies and souls of men. Wow, what an awesome description of this. Verse 14, the fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you will find them no more at all. There's a triple negative in Greek there. You will find them no more at all. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour, such great riches have come to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance, and they cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like this great city? Verse 19, they threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth. For in 1 hour, she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus with violence, the great city Babylon will be thrown down and shall not be found anymore. The sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, trumpeters shall not be heard in you anymore. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you anymore. The sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you anymore. The light of the lamp shall not shine in you anymore. The voice of the bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth. For by your sorcery, all the nations were deceived. Now, I don't have that written down here, but I'll bet you what you want, that that word for sorcery, once again, is the recurring, ongoing word, pharmakia. Pharmaceutical drug. We read in the end of chapter 9 that that's the one thing people refuse to give up, the end of the age. They refuse to give up their pharmaceutical drugs. Verse 24, in her was found the blood of the prophets and the saints and all who were slain on the earth. So we say sayonara to Babylon, whatever she may be. Jerusalem, I don't think so. This new city that they're building there where Palestine is, perhaps, it wouldn't surprise me. Or Rome, maybe. That's what Babylon meant back then. This we know, it's on the coast. Wherever this place is, it's on the coast. And we remember what the Lord Jesus said. And that is Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. It says, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial. Now, that word from, the Greek word ek, it means out of. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you out of the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world, to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have so that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We're out of time. We'll be back here tomorrow. We will pick it up, Revelation chapter 19, in our next program. You are listening to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Welcome to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. This is Denny Nugent with the question today about heaven. Browse a Christian bookstore, you'll probably find several books about people who claim they made a trip to heaven and returned, of course, to sell us their book about the experience. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul tells of a man who visited the third heaven and saw things he couldn't even discuss. John, one of our listeners asked, who was Paul talking about there, and where exactly is the third heaven?
First, a little reminder that the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. We die once. We can't expect to have some common experience of dying once and coming back and dying again. People who say they've gone to heaven and come back, and some who say they've gone to hell and come back, aren't telling the truth. What is the third heaven? The third heaven is simply the biblical reference to the dwelling place of God. The first heaven would be the atmosphere around the earth, which we breathe. The second heaven would be the stellar heaven, where the moon and the stars are. And in a simple sense, the third heaven would be the dwelling place of God. Now, Paul is the only person in the New Testament who was taken to the third heaven. But he doesn't even know in what way he went there. He says, I don't know whether I was in the body or out of the body. This is tantamount to a vision like the prophets had in the Old Testament, such as Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. Paul is saying, I was caught up into the presence of God. I saw things too wonderful to behold, things that I can't even speak about. If somebody really did go to heaven, they would have the same experience as Paul. They would be unable to speak of what they saw.
You're listening to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. For more teaching from John's New Testament commentaries, go to MacArthurCommentaries.com.
Portions of WMIE's Broadcasting Day are underwritten by Treasure Your Landscape. Treasure Your Landscape is a licensed and insured family business based in Brevard County with many years of experience in the landscaping business. They always work hard to gain your utmost satisfaction. They bring passion and proficiency to every project with a commitment to impeccable service. Treasure Your Landscape, available at 321-749-1432. They are a comprehensive hub for all outdoor space enhancement needs. Their services include the installation of premium artificial turf, carefully designed putting greens, meticulous landscaping services, and expert paver installation. They can transform your outdoor areas into a space your family will treasure. Treasure Your Landscape, 321-749-1432, is a proud corporate sponsor of the radio ministries of WMIE.